All right, everybody, we're here back again for another episode of Gaming Gaiden in our second season. Thank you for joining us. This week, we will be going over arcade hidden gems, mainly from the 80s and 90s, I'm assuming, Mike.
Well, I might have a surprise for you.
Wow. Okay. So, and again, just a disclaimer, everybody's idea of a hidden gem is different. Some of these might even have been big at the time, but then strangely, no one's thought about them since then. I think a couple of my picks are like that. So we're going to be doing kind of three and three. They're not in any particular order. Well, they're actually in chronological order, but not like in our number one favorite and second favorite type of order.
Yeah,
okay?
Honestly, the games I'd like to present today are, they're almost hidden because arcades have been hidden for so long.
But yes,
but honestly, the thing is, like, any one of the games I present today, it's more like, if you can get a chance to play it, please do. It doesn't, don't worry about what I think is better than any other. Just, yeah, give them a shot.
Yeah, so without further ado, let's jump on in. So, Mike, your first pick, please.
My first pick is a game that I read about once upon a time in Sega Visions magazine, I believe it was, in the back. They were saying, you know, this new arcade cabinet is going to come out. It's going to blow your mind. And it is G-Lock.
Gotcha.
I don't know if you're familiar with this. That's gravitational force, loss of consciousness.
What? That's what it stands for? I know.
Yeah.
I know, so, I've heard the name, I've probably played it. I'm going to look it up, how it looks right now.
So the thing is, the game is kind of an offshoot of Afterburner, right? It's very much, you know, in that vein. But that doesn't tell the story, because it's not so much about the game, it's about the whole experience of the cabinet. The cabinet that they were showcasing at the back of Sega Visions was the R360 version. So there's multiple versions of the cabinet for this game. The R360 version literally will have you go in a 360. You can go upside down, you go all around, and it mimics the movements of the plane.
The cabinet would do a 360.
Yeah, you get sort of strapped into a harness. There's like a little thing for an attendant, like somebody should be there supervising, you know, in case you get motion sickness or whatever it is, to stop the cab. But yeah, so I remember seeing this thing and they were saying like it's going to flip you all around. And it was so amazing to me that this existed. I wanted to play it. I wanted to play it for years. I never got to play it until we were in Japan.
Wow.
There's apparently a very, very low production run on this, naturally.
And the one that spins you around.
And the one that spins you around. That's the R360 version. So there are other like standard or deluxe cabs and stuff for this. Those are your sort of normal things you would expect. But the R360 is a very special thing where you can be like strapped in and you're going upside down and all around. And yeah. So I finally got to try it and I was super excited and I got upside down and I was like, I gotta stop, man. I can't do this. After all those years, you know, maybe if I had played it when I was 11 or 12 or whatever it was, you know, but I played it. I was probably only about like 26 or so, but, you know, that's already past that big mark, 25. And I was like, yo, this is not comfortable, man.
You strapped in and went upside down as a 26 year old in the early 2000s, I take it.
So that would have been the mid-2000s. That I finally did. It was. I'm pretty sure it was that time. You know, my time gets a little blurry. But yeah, I think it was sometime in 2005 or 6. And the thing is, like, I couldn't handle it. I wish that I had been able to handle it. This is a remarkable game. It's just an amazing thing. And there's so few in existence. If you can get your hands-on time, please do it. Try it. I am grateful for it, even though I had to bail. Because it was just, there's nothing else like it. Nobody else has done this.
So
it's
for nearly 30 years, you were waiting to play this game in its full glory, and you finally did in Japan.
That's right. And then I had to bail after like a minute because I was like, I can't stay upside down, man. I can't do it.
God, man. It's like, I feel like they don't make arcade games like that. Well, they don't make many at all anyway, but
I know.
God, we lived in such the golden age of arcade gaming, man. Like,
Yeah.
Late 80s was the ramp up, and then we saw it kind of fully realized in the early to mid 90s. And by the late 90s, I was already kind of dying down. And like, it's funny, man. This reminds, like, speaking of the arcade cabinet, I'm going to do a quick sidebar here, but it's going to relate. So whenever I was in, hold on, we're going to go big for this. Hold on. Ah.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut around that. Okay. So I just digitized some footage, like all the footage that my parents had when I was a kid.
Oh, and that's awesome.
all of it. Yeah. And so it's been quite a memory lane. And like, I am playing video games with my brothers in a lot of these shots. One is Turtles in Time, which might be the day we got it.
Oh, that's cool.
Because we were like, I'm like standing up playing it. I'm like so into playing it. Getting back to my actual point, we had some footage of Chuck E. Cheese. You know, most of this is birthday party footage, right? That's when we busted out the camera back in the day. And it was my brother's birthday, and they have like the full-on animatronics there. Like the animatronics... Nice. Animatronic show, and this is the early 90s. This must have been 92 93, and I'm thinking like everything has degraded since then, like like my mom said, because my mom's been with like other people that she knows and their children recently, and it's just a guy in a mouse suit that walks out and sings happy birthday. That's it,
dude. You're lucky if that. I went there for the first time in my life just a couple of weeks ago with my son, and all it was a bunch of tables at the back, and there was Kids Bop on like a big screen. There was nothing there.
We grew up, I guess you never went as a kid, but we grew up in
the we didn't have them in my area.
Okay. Actually, dude, we had Showbiz, which I found out was an offshoot. We kind of had both, but I think Showbiz was closer to us. And Secret Galaxy said that was a direct offshoot. This Secret Galaxy is another YouTube channel, and that was a direct offshoot of people that left Chuck E. Cheese / Atari, the same company basically, and they started that. And I remember our family always liked Showbiz more. But anyway, the main point is like these arcade cabinets, like G-Lock, and the animatronics, like the kids' entertainment, like these game centers. When you, I guess, elder millennials and Gen X people will really vibe with this. Arcades just fucking suck now, and it's because there's no new games coming out. It's just not like it was, and
it's really rare that a newer game comes out that's really interesting, because it's just not the same kind of audience. And a lot of what you're seeing coming into the arcades nowadays is like a giant version of a mobile game for you to get tickets to go get a goddamn pencil eraser or something.
And that shit fucking sucks, dude. I hate that. I mean, it's like the Dave and Busterization of all the arcades. Dave and Buster's is fine for what it is. I totally get it, but it just ain't what it used to be. Anyway, I know I often go into old man corner. So anything else to say about G-Lock before we head into the next one?
Yeah. So you'll see, like, it's available nowadays. You could buy it on like the Switch and Sega Ages version. But like, if you don't have a rig at home to turn your ass upside down while you're doing it, and what's the point? You know, I bought it.
There is none.
I bought it, and I was like, "What am I gonna do?"
That's hilarious, man.
I'm on level 2. I should be throwing up already. What is this? But yeah,
dude. Now all I want to do is get an. If I see this in Japan next time I go, I'm gonna break up my phone and make a video for this channel and dedicate it to you immediately. It'll be a YouTube short. I won't even edit it. I'll just put it on YouTube Shorts and what you call it, TikTok. So,
looking around, trying to find some stuff, there was something that indicated, I think, Galloping Ghost, which I've never been to, I've heard good things about, might still have it there. They're kind of like an arcade / museum thing. I don't even know where they are. I've never been, but I would like to go sometime.
Oh, man. Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah. All right. So for my pick, it's kind of weird because yours is G-Lock. Mine's T-Mech.
It's got a good sound to it. T-Mech.
T-Mech, man. So
now how do you write that? T-Mech.
T-MEK.
Okay.
So this was like one of those big arcade games, like a big cabinet.
So this is an important thing, right? And this is what we were kind of getting at just a few minutes ago, right? We used to be there in the age of, I don't know if this is a standard term, the spectacle cab, sort of.
I'm not sure, but the cabinet was like definitely like a big part of it back in the day.
Like that's a shout out to the Video Wizards podcast. I love those guys, Mikhail Kroeder and Ben Cartledge. They do a great job of exploring, you know, the old arcade days. And they talk about spectacle cabs, and that was the norm for us then. You know, these giant, amazing things were like the cab itself was going to draw you in, regardless.
The attract mode and all that. Yeah, I know. You know? I mean, yeah. So T-Mech was a tank game. It was out in '94, apparently. Mm-hmm. For '94 graphics, these are very good.
Yeah.
It was just a fun sci-fi shooter, and this missile shot, I got to tell you, man.
So this is a first-person game.
It's a first-person tank, sci-fi tank shooter, okay? Mm-hmm. And the main thing that really blew me away, I remember to this fucking day, was the being able to control the missile.
Oh my God. Nice.
It was like a feature of my dreams, dude. Yeah. All I ever wanted was to control the missile. It goes into the missile POV, and mm-hmm. you can't control the speed, obviously, and that's where the fun of it comes in, like, can I make it in time? But you mm-hmm. can hone the missile manually, which
that's dude. That's cool.
Go ahead.
I don't think I can remember a time before Metal Gear Solid that I saw that. So that's really cool. That's really impressive.
Oh man. It was like almost like an epiphany moment in the arcade. It was such a palpable realization, or just a palpable realization of just how much mm-hmm. I loved that feature. And I like the rest of the look of the game too. I like sci-fi, cyberpunk, any kind of shit like that. That kind of look, and tank games are always fun, especially in the arcade. And you know, there were different versions, but there was definitely like a huge version. I remember that was probably the first one I got in. Not like a fucking G-Lock type of thing, but
was it done up like a tank? I mean, you know, or
it was like a big booth you could get in. It was definitely mm-hmm. like worth something. It was cool. I loved it. So
how did it control? What kind of controls did you have? Was it like dual levers? Was it a wheel of sorts?
I honestly don't remember that. I think maybe it was a wheel, but that's a very good question, and I'm going to put a picture of the controls right here for the final cut of the video. But I remember they were tight, though. I remember like having no problems with how it controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, not to like be overly reductive, but we're talking 30 years later, I'm still talking about it.
Yeah.
The missile, and you would fight your friends, because I'm pretty sure you could anyway. There were two next to each other. Not more than that, though, I guess.
That's awesome.
It was too early, I think. But I think you were doing, like, you know, player one versus player two plus bots. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure anyway. And, you know, that was fun, man. That was a lot of fun. And there was a 32X port of this, and I'm one of the three people that got the 32X. Even less people than the fucking Sega CD. I forgot that Blaustein made fun of me until we until we put that clip out again. but anyway, I had it on 32X as well, and I mean, it's probably one of the few really good. I mean, it was good enough. Good 32X ports.
Well, let me ask you, you know, like, how did you feel about the 32X version playing that versus sitting down in this tank cab?
I mean, even as a kid, I knew that it wasn't going to be like the arcade mm-hmm. because I didn't mm-hmm. have that big ass cabinet in my house.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the same. And the graphics were, I think, a little worse on 32X, but not much worse as far mm-hmm. as what I remember. But you know, it was still good enough. And plus, like, compared to other shit on the 32X 32X library, you know, it was definitely one of the better ones, man.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's
cool, man. I've never played it. I've never seen T-Mech.
You never even saw it. Wow. It was good. You should try to play this in whatever way you can.
Right. That's the whole point of putting these out there. I'd love to see this. Give it a shot, especially if I could do a head to head. That would be fun.
Oh, yeah. Some of the barcades in LA have started to, you know, because we've gotten a little bit spoiled with the barcades. Like, they all kind of have the same stuff these days. Like, you know, you got the X-Men cabinet, you got the Simpsons cabinet and all that. Mm-hmm. But one lately has started to get even more stuff, like kind of like get like more like hidden gems, actually. And that's going to tie into my next one after you go into your next one. So what's your what's the next one, man?
Well, my next one is a something that I have very deep affection for as a comic series, a manga series, as an anime. I love that whole series. And as a game series, it's Initial D.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Initial D cabs, I actually first played this in my first stint in Japan in 2001. It might've been 2002. I went there in 2001. I don't know if I played it, if it came out in 2001 or 2002, but they did the Initial D arcade stage games. And yeah, it was a head-to-head climb with like, there was a downhill, there was a climb. It was just like crazy racing on these super insane turns. And these kids were wrecking me just straight up. And I was like a pinball bouncing off of all the walls. But like, I started to get the hang of it. And my God, I love the drifting in this game, which is natural because that's like what the D is for in Initial D.
Okay. So, I actually didn't even know that.
I think they say Initial D. I think it's must meant be, though, to carry the idea of more like capital D. It's sort of like,
oh yeah.
But yeah, it's a really phenomenal game series that has continued through the years. It's still going strong today, but only in Japan, really. So like, if you want to play it today, you've got pretty limited options. You would need either someone still got one of the old cabs around. I think the last version to release in America was Initial D Arcade Stage 3, which might have come out in like 2003, maybe. So that was back in the CRT days. It was once they hit the HD era, they started to make a lot more of them. They seemed to work more rapidly on them. So I think now we're on probably like the 10th arcade version. But I haven't seen it. The last one I played, I think, was Initial D Arcade Stage 8, which was labeled Infinity.
Okay.
And it's basically like living out the series Initial D. You can play through a story mode where you're going to race against, you know, progressively difficult racers on different courses, uphills and downhills. But it's all, for those who don't know, Initial D is about mountain racing in Gunma. Well, it's fictionalized in this, but yeah, it's based on Gunma's mountains. And of course, sometimes the character would go around to like the neighboring prefectures for a race or something like that. But yeah, it's centered in Gunma. So,
okay.
It's got crazy hairpin turns like mad. You spend most of your time sideways. passing a racer just feels amazing. And one of the most important things about this is the music. They're all about the Eurobeat.
Okay.
it's like the time frame too is just so important. I think it started in the late 90s in Japan. And Eurobeat and Eurodance kind of stuff, like with what do you call that? Like para para dancing or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically like that stuff.
That was an early 2000s thing, I think. Yeah.
It's still there, and it doesn't matter because you can still put the same old 90s songs on there and I'd be like, yeah, this is amazing. Because you need that when you're racing. 180 beats per minute is like perfect. That's the minimum. You want. Don't put this shit on in your car. If you listen to Eurobeat while you're actually driving your car, you will be a bad driver. It's gonna increase your heart rate. You're gonna start moving more quickly and everything. It's a bad scene. But in this game, it's perfect. And it's got a head-to-head mode, so it plays kind of like, you know, Street Fighter. Like, I could step up and challenge someone to a race. They've got the cards. You could save your progress. And I did. Like, I was, like, maxing out my car and everything. And I
Oh my God.
Fucking loved it. I loved it. And wow. I would even go, I would drive, you know, back here in America, I would drive like an hour and a half over the George Washington Bridge, which cost like $13 to head out to some place in Jersey that had two cabinets next to each other, you know?
You drive an hour and a half.
Just to go sit and drive for 2 hours that I got to pay for.
Oh my God.
To then go back and pay on the way back home. But now I think it's really tough to find. There used to be a group called Tokyo Attack. I think it was Tokyo Attack. And they would travel around with like a trailer and go to like events, like conventions and stuff, and bring all their cabs. And I used to play it wherever they showed up if it was nearby. But nowadays, I think the only option I have is to find a, I think it's called Round One. Have you ever been to that?
I've heard of those. Yeah, they have a couple near me, I think.
Get over there, man. Because they get all the imports from Japan. So like,
I should take a look at that, shouldn't I?
We don't really have a good arcade scene anymore. Like you said, it's been turned to Dave and Buster's and it's all kind of mediocre stuff. But Japan's still got some strong arcade machines. And Round One imports them. They do all the music ones I don't really care for, but they brought in Initial D, and that means I'm going. So I got to find one.
I have to ask, though. I mean, look, I've liked a racing game here and there in my lifetime, but is it just the drifting mainly that makes... It's the drifting and the music that sets Initial D apart? Is that what it is?
It's the drifting, it's the music, and then there's the other part of the Street Fighter aspect. It's the pulling up on an opponent and being like, you know, I'm going to challenge you to a race.
It feels like that more than other arcade racers, though, because you can usually challenge other arcade racers, can't you?
Yeah, but the thing is, in this case, it's a one. Well, there isn't a four-player mode, but that's different. There's a two-player. It's head-to-head. And the thing is, you're constantly vying for position on roads where there is no position. So that moment that you just like eke ahead of the opponent to pull out of that turn the moment before them, God damn, that feels good.
So it's one-on-one. There's no other NPC cars.
There's no one else on the course. It's just you.
This is supposed to be kind of like a Fast and the Furious style racing and not like an official race kind of deal. That's the setting.
No, this is all illegal mountain racing.
Yeah. You know what? Hearing this, man, I really feel like I've never really liked the Fast and the Furious series, but if they came out with Initial D movie and it was set in Japan in Japanese, I think that'd be kind of sweet, man. I would definitely at least check out the first one.
They did a live action one. I think it was done.
They did.
By a Hong Kong studio.
Okay.
It was okay. Honestly, I still happily watch the anime from the late 90s or whatever with its like really janky CG. I don't really care. It's still great.
Okay. Dude, I've been aware of it. I've played it. I thought it was cool, but maybe I need to play a little bit more to get more
into it. It's really difficult at first, but like if you get to the point where it starts to click, your timings on like how to activate the drift and just pull ahead of an opponent, it's so goddamn gratifying.
The biggest racing game in my childhood, and we're talking early childhood-ish, was Cruisin' USA.
This is fun.
Yeah. doing the double tap to make it, you know, pop a wheelie and all that kind of shit. Everybody was playing that. I've played a new one.
The Cruisin' Blast, I think it was, on Switch. That was really fun.
I think I've probably played that, but like I think it's hard to get across the kind of phenomenon that game was. And I honestly think, I mean, maybe it was, I'm sure it was big in New York, but there's something about car culture in the South, you know, and car video games. I don't know. I'm not trying to be a gatekeeper here. I don't even care about, you know, cars that much in real life, but it's just a phenomenon I kind of noticed. I just feel like it's mainly a Southern thing. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a country thing. I'm not sure. But I remember, like, it just seemed like the more country the kid, the more they love some goddamn Cruisin' USA. God, they loved it. But, I mean, I liked it a lot as well.
Having played both, I do really enjoy them. But, like, I wouldn't be here gushing about Cruisin' USA as much as I enjoyed it. And Crimson Blast on the Switch is like, that's like a perfect arcade game. It doesn't mince around in any way. It's just like, let's go in and maybe you can also race as a dinosaur or a cow because that's fun.
Yeah, I love that silly shit.
But like Initial D is just quality, man. It feels so good. And of course, like I said, there's progression. You've got a card that saves your progress, your race record and everything. So
you still have your card?
Yeah. I only stopped carrying them in my wallet like 2 years ago when I realized.
You never know, like, man. Got to keep that thing on.
Still in
this
goddamn pandemic. Where am I going? I haven't found an Initial D cab yet. But yeah, I just would always keep them. I would always keep my cards in my wallet. Like, oh, this is my Arcade Stage 7 card. This is my Arcade Stage 8 card, you know?
It would be so cool if more barcades had those.
Oh, yeah. I've always said these cabinets should be at FGC events because I think that this game would really appeal to most fighting game players.
You think so? I mean, I guess because of the challenge thing.
I mean, you could take almost any competitive game and give it to a few folks from the FGC and they'll find a way to get competitive and get serious about it. I don't think you have to struggle when it comes to Initial D. People know how to drive, put them in the cars and they'll start to explore and figure it out.
Okay. I'll try it again, man. I mean, I definitely didn't like dislike it, but it didn't really capture my imagination immediately. I can say that.
Yeah. No. Like I said, same here. Initially they were wrecking me and I was just like, okay. But then I came back to it and I was like, nope. Love it.
I'm going to look up the soundtrack as well after this. You piqued my interest. Okay, so
It's a vibe.
It's a vibe, yeah. Initial D's a vibe. My next one is Prop Cycle.
The little helicopter game, right?
Yeah.
Dude. This game is so crazy.
This game is basically just Pilot Wings with a bike, but I loved it, man. I played this all the time in the arcade. They've never released this in any form, as far as I know, on any console. I don't think it was too much of a hidden gem at the time. I mean, maybe it was, and maybe I just knew about it, but it's definitely been hidden since then. It came out in 96, apparently. I played it so many times. I would get a lot of exercise because it was it was an actual like bicycle thing. You had to bicycle to control the speed.
So you controlled
the speed.
This. Yeah, you controlled this with an actual bicycle.
An actual bicycle. So that was the difficulty. The first level was pretty difficult. Like you probably weren't going to beat it on first two or three tries. But then the levels after that get even harder, dude. but yeah, it's like, I mean, the graphics were like kind of good too for 96. It's a Namco game. Yes, PS1 era type of graphics. Maybe a little bit better than PS1 because it was arcade hardware. But
well, you know, some of those conversions from the arcade hardware looked better on the PS1. So I wonder if it could have just run on the PS1, but there was the problem of getting a bicycle at home set up.
That's the thing. That's probably why they never really ported it, because it really hinged upon that. Man, if Namco did some sort of thing with Peloton, that'd be amazing.
yeah.
You know, like games like that. But I actually have played this on Steam Deck, and what you do is press L and R to paddle, like kind of off and on. So you do get a little bit of a finger workout, but it's not like the game, not like the actual arcade game. But so this connects to what I was saying before. I was happy to find out that Barcade, that's the name of it, in LA, I haven't been yet either, but they have a Prop Cycle game.
Oh, nice.
There.
I'm going to go there. I know. Don't drink any beer when you go, though.
I know, man.
Get a Gatorade.
I know, and drink after this game, for sure. I didn't put it in my list, but I probably should have, but they also have Sega Time Traveler, dude. The
hologram game?
Yes, they have it. Unbelievable.
I would love to get hands-on with that again. It was so weird. And it was so rare, you know?
It was so rare. I only saw it like once or twice in my childhood.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, that as another testament to they were really going for it in the 90s with all kinds of crazy arcade games.
Yeah.
Like, it was just such a great time. But yeah, I'm not sure what else to say about Prop Cycle. I mean, it's literally just pilot wings pop the balloons. Like, but it's a good look. It's got a slight, like, slight steampunk kind of thing. Very light steampunk kind of vibe. I usually don't love steampunk, but the way they did it here, I enjoyed it.
Just to clarify for folks, like if you're not already familiar with Prop Cycle, when he says like pop the balloons, you're pedaling a bicycle, and there's a propeller on the front of your vehicle in the game, and you use that to pop the balloons. So you're trying to progress through the balloons.
Yeah. I'll put a picture up, but yeah, it was literally pedaling and then a little like bicycle. Yeah, it was a bicycle handlebar kind of type of thing, and it had a really good feel of floating and the mechanics and everything, and it stuck with me, man. It stuck with me. I'm talking about it 30 years later. I don't know. I always loved this game. I think it was $1 when it first came out, which probably kept a lot of people from playing it. But
right
after it was out, like probably a year or so, I think they did lower it to 75 or 50 cents. You know, the older it got. So, hopefully it became more accessible to some people. But, so when I was a kid, if it was my brother's birthday party or my birthday party or whatever, I'm a spoiled doctor's kid. My parents would give us 20 bucks each. Mm-hmm. So that meant I played every game that I could in the arcade, especially if they were new. I would give everything at least a chance. So yeah. I know not everybody has that experience, but that was my experience. And of course, I would give it mainly to Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter and shit. You know, a good like $7.50 or $10 of that. But I was there for the sampler platter too. I wanted to try everything, including the older stuff like Galaga, stuff before my time, slightly Pac-Man. I loved all that shit too, man. But Prop Cycle was one of those, dude, and I'm glad to see it lives on in barcades today.
You know, the first time I ever played it was in Saitama.
So you actually have played it. That's good. A lot of people haven't even heard of it, man. That's why it's a hidden gem.
I enjoyed it. It was, I can't remember what the name of this place was. It was some little like arcade/lounge where you could pay. You had to pay a membership fee, typical, you know. You pay the membership fee and then you would pay for like an hour and just go play things. And this was in that place. And it was over by like the cotton shop or whatever in Fujimino.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember there was an arcade there. There was an arcade there near the station, but I don't remember any others.
No, it wasn't that one. This was kind of like a family fun center almost. And you could also take like a PlayStation and pick out a game and go sit down at one of the little TVs.
They had
a lot of options like that. But they had some arcade machines and Prop Cycle was one of them. And it was the first time I'd ever seen it. So of course I was like, yeah, I'm going to play this.
It wasn't in your area in America.
No.
Growing up.
But like it's kind of the problem of that era. I was in high school from 93 to 97 and I didn't get out to a lot of arcades then because I was at a boarding school and I didn't
really
get to go many places.
My old college roommates that I still talk to every day. Mm-hmm. They were in my first podcast, Superhouse Podcast. They had never even heard of Prop Cycle. They're from Colorado, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Virginia. Yeah. And they were all gamers. They all went to the arcade. None of them had ever even heard of Prop Cycle. And sometimes I just feel like, was Alabama special? Like, did we just have strangely a lot of shit like this? Like,
yeah,
that's funny. I grew up thinking that Alabama didn't have shit because of our, you know, of the image. But like a lot of they didn't know T-Mech either. I don't think they knew my next pick coming up either. Like they knew the big ones, like of course Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat and stuff. But yeah, it's just sometimes I'm like, did Alabama actually have a good scene? Like what's going on, man? And when I interviewed the Software Etc. owner, that's like Babbage's or whatever. It was the GameStop mm-hmm. of the time. I asked him what was the biggest selling game while you worked there. And he said Killer Instinct. Yeah. And some other people have said that it wasn't that big in their area. So I think in my area, fighting games were just very big.
That's, yeah, it's entirely possible. I mean, we're still very regional in a lot of ways, but yeah, things have changed a little.
So there's another podcast I haven't listened to recently, but it's called 20-30-10, and they cover things from 30, 20, and 10 years ago.
And that's cool.
It's a pretty cool concept. It's cool, and they cover video games, and they mention often that arcade releases, there was never really an exact date. Because, like, it would be region by region, and, you know, they just didn't care about that then. It wasn't like that. It was just like, it'll get there when it gets there, when the truck delivers it to the fucking mall or whatever, you know? So, like, there's, like, an end date for whenever they finished making the game, but there's no actual, like, release date for when it's in the arcades. For a lot of games, especially in this time period. So I find that interesting.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so that was my second one. What about yours?
All right, so we're on to my final
pick. Your final, that's right, your final.
Yeah, so this is a game that came out, I feel like it wasn't that long ago, but you know, now that I'm old and the years just fly by, it's really confusing. I think this was probably maybe about 10 years ago, maybe 8 years ago. It's hard to say exactly. It's the Star Wars Battle Pod. Did you ever play any of these?
I'm going to have to look this up, man. I don't know.
Okay. So the Battle Pod was this idea where you like you go inside a little pod, right? And it's kind of like the screen is all around you. You know, with a like from like a 180 view. Okay. Oh, so you've got like a panorama that goes to the sides, wrapping around you.
Yeah.
On a curved screen. And it also goes up and over you a little. So you really get this sense, strong sense of immersion. And I think I had first seen it with a Gundam game where they had like, you're sort of in your hulking mechs. It wasn't like a fast Gundam, like a Gundam versus game, but it used the Gundam license.
It wasn't like a virtual lawn. It was kind of a slower mecha game.
Yeah. It was a little slower.
Dude, so I'm looking at it now, man. I don't think I've ever seen this, dude.
Oh, yeah. If you get a chance, you got to try it out. They're fun. But like, yeah. So those Gundam pods were networked and you could all play together, a competitive thing. But the Star Wars Battle Pod was sort of, really much more of a spectacle, a journey through the movies, environments and stuff like that. And it's a single player game, so you could really enjoy it at your own speed sort of and try things again and again. And I went back to the arcade constantly and I played through the whole game eventually. I think there were only 4 or 5 levels.
This is in Japan or?
No, this was in America.
After you were back from Japan, right? This looks a little bit new. You were.
Yeah, so this was probably about 2010, 2012.
There were new arcade games in 2010?
Yeah, they were few and far between, but you know, I was going to the arcade as often as I can.
Why
they mostly had crap.
Why don't AMCs or like theaters have this kind of stuff? They used to have like when you go to the like side arcade at like movie theaters these days, it's the same 3 games, dude, every time. It's like Time Crisis 2 from 1994 or some shit and like one other like bullshit game, like one of those mobile games, and like that's kind of it. Where I was, you know, if they had this, it'd be cool. I remember they had the Star Wars arcade game in every movie theater back in the day, kind of without fail. Yeah. I know they're expensive, but movie theaters got a lot of money.
That's the thing, right? Like this kind of cabinet was probably about 10 to 12 grand each, you know? So it's like at a movie theater, they found their other paths to revenue, obviously.
So oh yeah, well, mainly like, popcorn, but
do we want people to just hang out here then they're not seeing movies? So
I guess so, man, but I mean, there's no more arcades really. It's just like where else do you put it?
Yeah, but this battle pod game, man, I had such a good time with this, and I kept coming back for it. And even after I beat it, I would still go back every so often and play. And eventually I was just like, okay, I think I've spent enough money there. I gotta ease up on this.
Normally a Star Wars game wouldn't...
They might have been gone by then.
Normally a Star Wars game wouldn't be a hidden gem just because it's Star Wars, but the fact that it's just an arcade...
Right.
Game, exactly. Like, that's people just forget these kind of things or never saw them like I did.
Yeah, when you're talking about 2010, it's like, okay, the entirety of the arcade, if you find anything good, it's a hidden gem because nobody's going to the arcade anymore.
Dude, I mean, yeah. Well, that's cool. I don't have anything that new on my list. That's cool. I didn't even know that existed.
So yeah, if you can find where there's a battle pod, I would highly recommend it. Even if you're not a Star Wars fan, it's still a really fun ride. Like, you know, it's that combination of, you know, like, what do they call it? Like almost like the 4D rides at the amusement parks. It almost kind of feels like that at times, but you're in control.
They should make a subreddit or some sort of site that kind of keeps track of, or you can look up where an arcade game is.
Initial D has that kind of support because the people who love it really love it, and we need other people to play against.
Right.
But it's not always the most up to date, especially with the pandemic kind of slowing things down.
Oh yeah.
So.
Oh man, it looks really cool though. That is awesome.
Yeah, great game, lots of fun, very cool.
My last one is Tokyo Wars. Loved this game. And that's another tank game. You know, I never played a whole lot of tank games at home. I was kind of surprised by my list. But I guess in the arcade, I really loved that experience. And this one, you know, sometimes in some arcades, they would have like 4-on-4, I think. It was quite a lot of cabinets. It was a big LAN. It came out in 96. And it was made by, Namco, I think. And this was one of the few games that my dad would play. So my mom actually would play Mario and Tetris, and my video game love from my mom mainly, probably. Mm. But my dad would play Time Crisis and Virtua Cop and any kind of shooter game. He had no problem with that. But outside of that, it was usually nothing except for Tokyo Wars, because it was like shooting again, and like the tanks didn't go that fast. My dad had a problem. He kind of got dizzy easily, he used to say.
That makes sense.
So yeah, it was fun. We could play, like, I have two younger brothers, and so like all of us could play in the arcade. That's awesome. Have a great time. And like the cabinet was really cool, and I mean, there's not much else to say. I think you got like 3 or 4 shots, and then you killed the person. And when you killed them, you could run over them and get the shield. I don't think this was ever released on any home console whatsoever. And I remember this being in a lot of arcades back in the day, man, quite a lot. Did you play this back in the day?
This is crazy. No, not at all. Never even heard of it.
Really?
Yeah, never heard of this game. Never saw it anywhere.
That's so crazy, man.
Yeah.
God, Alabama had everything. Like I moved to near Atlanta in 98 when I was 14. But a lot of these early childhood memories are when I was in Alabama. These are pre-1998. So just to get the story straight for anybody that's just joining us, I'm kind of Alabama and Georgia and Atlanta. But anyway, it's so crazy you never heard of this, man. This was such a fun one. Not super fast because they're tanks. It's not a spaceship shooter. You know, those are very quick and shit. A little bit slower, but that's what made it fun. And it was like...
And it's 4v4.
4v4. Some of them were one-on-one. You know, you would see different cabinets here and there. But there were 4v4 ones I remember for sure. Man, and
that's awesome.
I texted this to my parents recently. My family has a little like chat we're all in. And even my mom was like, I remember this one. And I even said, arcades aren't like what they used to be, right? And my mom said, nope, Like, dude, we were just, when it came to, like, you know, my parents didn't game that much at home. My mom actually did, like, Tetris on her Game Boy, but, like, when it came to this, it was like a, I think maybe even my mom played this a little bit here and there, because we were all playing it. And, you know, the slight Tokyo setting is cool. It's not like, it's not American tanks or Tokyo tanks, and you're in Tokyo, and that's kind of adds to the fun of it, man.
Yeah, right? Like, here's a little bit of exoticism. Knock yourself out.
Yeah, you know, it was cool, man. It was really cool. I was always such a huge, huge fan of Tokyo Wars, and it's never been released. But in my research, there was a Wii U game called Tank. You know, three exclamation
points. That's so funny. When I saw the tanks rolling down the hill in the initial clip that you were sharing, I was like, oh, I wonder if that Tank game plays like this.
Official spiritual successor. So apparently I haven't played it yet. I actually never had a Wii U. I never had a Wii, dude. I skipped the Wii entirely. Love the Switch. I never had a GameCube either. I've been very picky. But I absolutely love the Switch. I think it's Nintendo's best system since Super Nintendo, basically. Yes, better than N64. anyway, back to this. Yeah. So, man, it's so crazy you never played this. You should try to play this if you ever see it.
Never even seen it. You know, that's a thing that came up when we were talking about Sonic, and I was asking you, like, did you play this with your brothers? You know, because I have two older sisters, so, you know, you would say, like, oh yeah, you know, you had some other people. They were 9 and 11 years older than I was.
Oh yeah.
And my parents got divorced, and like we all went with a different part of the family. So like I grew up more or less as an only child.
Got it.
So when I went to the arcade with my dad, it was more like, here you go. Take this roll of quarters, Mikey. Have some fun. And it was like, okay. And then I went alone. Like, there was nobody else. It was just me.
Yeah, man.
So like, I'd sit down and have a chili dog with him and then go play some games. And sometimes he would come around and be like, oh, what's this game you're playing? But like, he didn't play the games or anything.
I think I was lucky in that regard. The older I get, the luckier I feel about that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had some problems for sure, but yeah, we definitely had a lot of good times, and Tokyo Wars is one of those I look back on very fondly, man. And it just, it feels lost to time because there was never a home port, and how easy would that have been? A tank game? I mean, especially if you, I mean, with a controller, it would have been fine, but if you would have added like, you know, what do you call it? Wheel support or whatever, like a racing wheel support.
That would have made it fun too. Honestly, it seems to me like our probably least favorite system would have been the best suited for it. the N64. Get a 4-player split screen.
Oh yeah, you know, I like the N64 okay, but oh yeah, you know, I did play a lot of that. Remember the GX TV?
Is that the one with the little fold-out speakers?
Fold-out speakers. It was like 13 inches. Yeah. Dude, we would play 4-player split screen on that fucking shit. Star Fox and all that. Unbelievable, dude. Kids don't even know these days, man. but yeah, dude, that's the list. Let's go back
through that again. Just a little recap for folks, okay. You know?
Yeah. So our picks have been...
I started with a G-Lock on the R360 cab. Spins you all the way around.
That's awesome.
What was yours?
So from G-Lock, we went to T-Mech. Mech is probably just a fun spelling for mech, M-E-C-H, but it was T-M-E-K. And a little sci-fi tank shooter with the controllable missile that stole my heart when I was a kid.
Possibly inspired Kojima with the Nikita launcher.
It might have.
Yeah. And my second game was Initial D, you know, taking the manga and anime into head-to-head racing in the arcades. Beautiful. Still going strong.
I love it. I've been aware of the scene as well, actually. I know that it has that following. So, yeah, that is cool. That's kind of unique to that. So, well, not unique, but... There aren't many games in the arcade that are like that, though, for sure. right. even though it's not the only one. But anyway, my next one was Prop Cycle. Didn't play this with my family like Tokyo Wars, but it just kind of stole my heart, man. I don't know, dude. I wasn't super into like bicycling games. It was just something about like a flying bike and popping definitely those balloons. Definitely unique. yeah, and of course never a home release. As far as I know, I feel like it would have been on my radar. But yeah.
Yeah. And I rounded out my list with the Star Wars Battle Pod, which is honestly, you know, you could replicate a lot of these stages on a home console, but you absolutely cannot replicate the experience of sitting in that pod with the screen surrounding you and just being like fully immersed in these Star Wars environments. It feels great. It's so good.
Sort of warms my heart that they actually came out with a kind of a mind-blowing arcade thing in 2010 because it kind of feels like that was left in the 90s. So I'm so mm-hmm. glad to hear, even though I've never played or heard about it until just now, it kind of warms my heart that that they're still doing that. And I would love to see more of that kind of thing.
Yes.
I feel like there's still like a mech game they could make with like a full-on Pacific Rim kind of thing in the arcade or something. We still haven't seen the best mech game, I think. But anyway, I digress. My last one was Tokyo Wars. The family event it was. My mom probably played only once or twice, but my dad would play like every time, and he loved that game, man, and we all loved it. And it's ultimately pretty simple, you know. It's just a tank game. Yeah. You're rolling around and you go and shoot the other tank. Try not to get hit, you know. But it was just the execution was really good, and the Tokyo thing added something to it. And the 4-on-4, of course. And I've seen some Reddit threads where people are like, you know, going crazy over it as well. So I'm not the only one.
Yeah. That would have been fun, especially with the whole crew coming in.
Oh, yeah, man. So good, dude. So good. I want to get Tank, Tank, Tank. Maybe it'll be on Switch or something at some point. So,
if you guys want more arcade games, what we really got to do is get out there and spend money in arcades. I know that's not easy to do necessarily these days. We don't have a lot of good options for that, but yeah.
I mean, it sort of lives on in barcades now, which is great. Mm. It would be cool if there could be a return to the mall that's not Dave and Buster's, but, you know, I don't know, man. It would be cool if, like, somebody were to release, like, or come out, like, with an arcade, totally old school style in the mall. Mm. Like, did you have Aladdin's Castle?
No.
That was the name of one of the old school arcades we went to back in the day. And yeah, it's just to have like Killer Instinct, Virtua Fighter, all those like 90s games, Galaga. Like, I don't know. It'd be cool. And of course, the games we talked about here today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you know, if you're looking for something like some of these cabs might be at the Round One, I believe it's called, do a search with your zip code. You'll probably be stuck driving at least 40, 50 minutes for most folks. There's also, I think that the Galloping Ghost has an R360. You might have to make a pilgrimage if you want to play that. But you kind of got to make an effort to try and find these things because they're not easy. I had to go to Japan to play the R360. So.
Oh, plus like a game being 30 to 35 years old at this point, dude. That looked like an early 90s game.
I think it was 1990, actually, yeah.
For the screen to work is one thing. For the controls to work is another thing. For the full-on 360 mechanism, that's a whole other thing after 35 years.
Yeah.
So,
especially since most places I went to like wouldn't even have the Player 2 stick working on a Street Fighter cab or something.
Yeah, stuff like that, man. And like a lot of laundromats have the random Neo Geo cab that's all fucked up. It makes me
cigarette burns in it.
Those make me sad and happy because I'm happy to see them there in the wild in a, just mm-hmm. in a laundromat. Something about that works, yeah. But it's sad that they're usually fucked up in those laundromats. It's always a Neo Geo cab. It always is, yeah. Dude. But it anyway, yeah. Thank you guys for joining us. This has been another episode of Gaming Gaiden. This is season 2, episode 2, and we have more content coming for you guys. And
well, we're recording it second. We don't know how we're going to sequence it.
Oh yeah, maybe I'll cut that out. I will sequence it later. But it's definitely season 2. And let us know what you think and let us know.
You got any other arcade hidden gems, man? Let us know.
Oh yeah, that's a good shout out. Let us know what hidden gems in the arcade took your heart. What do you still think about from the 90s, man? You know, what's you can't get out of your mind sometimes, you know? Do you crave to play it, but you can't because the arcades are no more. So thanks again, Mike, for being here for another recording, another episode.
Right. Thank you.
And that'll do it. We'll check you guys later. Please check out the movie that I'm working on called Metal Force. Please go to www.metalforce.ninja to find out more about this film. It's basically R-rated Power Rangers meets Stranger Things. That's the quick pitch.